The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I'm sick of being the fucking commercial guy. I want one of you guys to do this commercial. All right, one of you guys need to do this commercial. Tell people about the bundles, how they get a free no BS six pack formula, mindpumpmedia.com, do all that stuff. Because everybody's like, oh, Sal's always.
I got it covered for us, dude. Here we are.
Sal.
We just ripped out our first episode, or we're about to rip out our first episode inside the new Mind Pump Media headquarters.
Ooh, and it's cozy.
And something that we got to remind everybody going on this month is we've given away our MAPS no BS six pack. Fucking, I fucked up. Sorry.
I'll do it. We're not cutting this, by the way.
Listen.
Every once in a while, I like to show my worth.
Yeah. I see. You've been getting so many reps. It's, oh my God, this is so much weight.
It's never when we're moving furniture or doing any real work. It's always when we're doing
Well, we're working on our testosterone.
Yeah.
So listen,
we're giving away the no BS six pack formula. This is our program designed to work your core. You're going to get it for free. All you got to do is enroll in any of our MAPS bundles. We have the Sexy Athlete Bundle. We have the Build Your Butt Bundle. And we have the RGB Bundle. That's the Cadillac. 9 months of exercise programming. Enroll in any of those and you get the No BS six-pack formula for free. You can find all these programs at mindpumpmedia.com.
How many reviews did we have?
We had 10 reviews.
Oh, that's a shitty week.
It is. I think because we were moving, people were kind of checking.
Oh, they just thought we're not here. Yeah, we're here. Mm.
We're here.
Mm. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. All the time.
Recognize us.
So we had, 10 reviews. We're going to give away 3 shirts. So we have IT Steven, RVK2853, and Dr. Stud 2.
Ooh, that's my doctor.
Yeah.
Dr. Stud.
How do they get their free t-shirts, Doug?
Yeah, send the name I just read to iTunes@mindpumpmedia.com. Include your shirt size, your shipping address, and we'll get that out to you right away.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hello? Man, that's a lot of echo.
Still echoes.
I mean, this room is not finished.
Yes, it's not.
I mean, the bottom line is it's not going to sound as good as it can.
Okay.
Until we get
roll with it.
I'll throw a little de-reverb on you.
What's
bow,
that?
Bow, oh, yeah. Hmm?
Oh, de-reverberation?
Yeah.
I feel like with the new light set up like this, that it feels it changes the whole ambiance. It changes the energy. I wonder what it's going to do.
Mm.
I do like that Dick is right next to me.
Low
though.
Key, you like having Dick next to you.
I do. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Right next to your
it's weird. Hand. It's weird that I like that.
That you like Dick. It's not weird.
Yeah,
I guessed it. We would have guessed it.
Yeah. You were pointing. Sal today points
all
out
the signs
my,
were there.
My feminine tendencies. Is that what you said?
Yeah,
because I write nice.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, you write nice. You're wearing lavender.
You write nice. The clothes you wear. You like to paint your toenails.
I am wearing.
You like you like men. You know all these things. You add them all up.
It's like 1 + 1.
I like women too.
It makes 2.
Yeah, you like them both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I have to deal with you fuckers every day.
Well, shit. Like me on that level.
Too much manliness. Cool. That might be what's going on. It pushes you opposite. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially Justin.
Oh, yeah.
Justin's a testicle, basically. He's a big walking testosterone molecule.
That's why I'm so itchy.
After Wally came in here and was picking on Justin, I can't help but look at the flannel and the RVCA shorts and stuff like that. I was like, you know, only Justin can pull that off. You know that?
It's a distinctive look.
Yeah, I feel like you make fun of my fashion, but Justin's...
You know why? Because I fucking make it work.
Remember what I tell you? It's not about what you wear. It's how you wear it.
It's how you wear it.
And he wears it well. He owns it.
Is this going to be our first aired episode inside our new... This is it, right? This is the first episode recorded.
This is it.
Did you... Did you listen to the episode
Please let me know.
I had to get a song in there.
You know, the only problem. Okay, so we need to let the listeners know that we're not done, though. We're not done soundproofing or whatever they call it. What do they call it?
No, sound. They're going to think we upgraded to a shittier studio.
Yeah, it's like, not you guys are more echoey.
We're not done with our acoustical treatment.
Yeah, so yeah. It's not going to sound as good right now in your ears, but it will when we're totally
done.
I'll tell
you what, I got leg room. It looks fantastic in here. You know, let's just get to that point at some point.
The recording studio itself, because the whole facility is way bigger, but the recording studio itself is like what, twice as big as the old one.
If you did a cubicle, right? If you actually counted the ceiling too, it's about 3-4 times with that.
It's massive. We got a green screen in here because we're gonna film all kinds of video in here with like weird backgrounds and shit.
Mm-hmm. A lot of
like
adult films,
space titties,
adult films.
That's our backup plan if things don't go well.
Is adult films?
Totally.
We're gonna produce you, Adam. You know that, right? It's not, I'm not going to be on it. Yeah. Justin's definitely not going to be on it.
He's our stallion.
It's going to be you.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to be
our workhorse.
I'm going to be directing it. Justin's the fluffer.
Yeah.
Doug will be videoing.
Last time I checked, Justin has the bigger soccer mom following than I do, for sure.
Yeah.
There's a market for Justin, for sure.
You know, there's for me, too. It's the gay market, though.
You got the gay market. He's got the soccer mom market.
Awesome. I got the
There's no market moms. For me.
Yeah.
Fortunately, though, mine's got more money.
Probably because I drive a minivan.
Last time I checked, the gays have more money than soccer moms.
I don't know. Yeah, for porn. For porn, dude.
What do you mean? What do you?
For porn.
If you're a soccer mom, you're a stay at home mom. You definitely have less money than a fucking gay guy.
Here's the deal.
That's a total overgeneralization, but for the most part, I think.
Okay, hold on a second.
Because I know there's someone soccer mom that's insulted right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I make this much money at home.
I drive
every
a Jaguar.
Day, right?
Yeah. SUV.
But you're messing it up. If we did straight filthy porn, yes, the gay community would definitely spend more money. But if we did like story type of shit with Justin, like he just finished chopping wood. He's got
God, I'm sweaty.
He's got wood chips all over him. He's coming. He's got to take his clothes off. And whatever. Yeah. You do that story, this motherfucker's making tons of money. Look at 50 Shades of Grey. Remember that stupid book that went out?
Eat some steak.
And then women bought it up like crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Did you catch that film? Did you watch that?
The film was shit. It was stupid. It was horrible.
Yeah. I didn't watch it. Justin, did you watch it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you both both watched.
Well, here's the thing. So when you're married and your wife says,
I forgot we've covered this.
Yeah, so they want to watch something.
Watch together.
Yeah, and it's like, can it kind of pornish? You're like, fuck yeah.
I just say that I was cleaning up my house the other day and I found Pirates. I'm so excited.
Oh, the original. The fucking
Pirates, the well mass produced.
Wait a minute. You found it? Does that mean
it was missing? Yeah.
That's my favorite all time porn.
Bro, have kids in your house. You can't have missing porn.
No, I'm like, this isn't Jack Sparrow.
The only thing worse than that is like finding you're missing like Coke or something like that. You know what I mean? Oh, there's the cocaine that I had missing. You got children. You can't have porn laying around.
I'm so the guy I have it right in the
that's a dick.
Dad, I found this new pirate movie.
You would have no idea, though. That literally stays right in my case of DVDs with everything else.
Booty.
And you look at that case, it looks literally like a normal pirate movie. Even when you grab it, you have to like really look at it and read it before you realize.
When I think of porn movies like Pirates and all those kind of films, I can't help but feel bad for the porn industry. It got destroyed with internet. Killed.
Oh yeah.
You can't make a high quality film anymore.
No.
They got crushed.
Yeah, but they're making more money now.
As a whole, they are, but
you porn and all that.
As an individual now. You got to be kidding me right now. We were just discussing. No, you're wrong.
No.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
I'm doing what Trump did in the first debate. Wrong.
Wrong. Here's okay. You know, like all your big names. Like if you know the name. I don't know the names of the girls anymore. Like of the big porn.
I don't
girls.
Know. It was like what Jenna Jameson.
Okay, so those girls, right? If you're, like,
I don't know who that is.
If you're the upper echelon.
Before you continue, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's make a bet.
Okay.
Now the porn industry itself makes a shit ton of money. I'm talking about individual actors and stars and superstars.
Well, let me
finish. They don't exist like they used to.
Well, let me finish my statement. That's where I was going with this. Is that okay? So if you're someone like a Jenna Jameson, that type of porn star, that person is getting hurt by this.
Yes.
Because she represents the 1% of the 1%. There's only a small portion of these girls that are making that top dollar. Then the rest aren't making anything. Well, now someone like her is suffering because she's getting beat by Jane Smith, who nobody knows, who's out of, you know, Tennessee doing it out of her trailer, but she's fine as fuck and she's got a great internet connection. And yeah. so she's got, and she has a social media following of 20,000 followers that
it's
are paying her
bandwidth,
that are paying her $69.99 a month to show her, you know, play with her toys and stuff. Like that's the business now. Now
here's
like,
what happened.
You build a social media following up. Yeah, you got 20,000+
yes,
followers.
Here's what happens.
You got a 6-figure business.
Well, here's what happens when you, yes, when you decentralize something, mm-hmm. The big money makers, they don't make that much money more, but you get a lot of middle ground. You get a lot of people making some money.
It's better.
So there's a lot of people now making
it's better for everybody.
$50,000 a year, $60,000 a year because of, you know, internet porn, but you're not making, like Jenna Jameson at one point is making tens of millions of dollars a year on all kinds of different things and products and shit. Mm. So it's not happening anymore, bro. So your dreams of being a superstar are over.
Sorry, Adam. Those butt plugs, you know, that sponsor.
Your butt plug idea.
We can't do it.
Easy. Yeah. Easy.
No, what was that one idea you had? Oh, you wanted to make a cast of your dick.
Oh, that's right.
Bro, that's don't be sharing that on the air.
What kind of Adam has got that, like,
enjoy my shiny phallus.
He's got enough, we'll call it self confidence, to be like, nobody knows about me, but I'm gonna make a cast of my dick and sell thousands of them.
That's a backup plan, bro. That's not like a main. That's not like plan A. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's like plan D. You know what I'm saying?
Plan
like
C.
I've got a lot of other things.
Plan A is mind pump. Plan B.
Maybe. Okay, it might be plan B.
Okay.
Oh my God. Where the fuck is the
worst
bird at?
Worst case scenario.
Where the fuck is this bird at?
Being brought to you by Chimera Coffee. It's the only coffee that is infused with all natural nootropics for a cleaner, calmer, and more focused buzz without the crash. Click the Chimera link at mindpumpmedia.com and input the discount code MINDPUMP at checkout for 10% off.
It's the motherfucking Quaw.
The eagle has landed.
Strong Flex Forever is asking, studies to support specificity over periodization.
So the question was,
that's a tongue twister.
He's talking about how recent studies are supporting specificity of training over periodization. In other words, showing that specificity is superior. Before we get into this, I think we need to kind of explain what they both mean, right? Mm-hmm. Specificity of training, literally, just giving you easy an example, if I wanted to get really good at riding a bike, then one of the things I should do is I should
ride a bike.
Yeah. And that's going to give me the most carryover to the kind of performance that I'm looking for. So that's what specificity means.
Yeah.
Periodization is just, it's a kind of a general broad term, which applies to changing the intensity and the volume of my workouts to, you know, circumvent issues with adaptation and recovery with my muscles. So I may train at a super high intensity for 2 weeks and then at a lower intensity for another 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that would be, it's a very basic, you know, way of periodizing your workouts. Now, here's the thing. First of all, let's talk about specificity. If you're looking for specific types of, you know, adaptation, strength, performance, you need to do things that are very specific to what you're looking for. If you're looking for strong pulling power, you need to pull. If you're looking to jump real high, you need to practice jumping, you know, running, swimming. If you want to get a good squat, well, you better squat. Like this is what's interesting to me is they do studies on this and people are always blown away by them. It's so common knowledge.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious, you know?
It's like, what do you think to get better at playing basketball? Is it a better idea to go do bicep curls or is it better to go play basketball? Like, which one's going to get you better? Now, does one of them have carry over to the other? Absolutely. Yeah. But obviously focusing on
it's always supplemental. You know, at that point, like, you know, you still have to keep in mind the specific attributes and traits that you're seeking and how that directly applies to that movement or that sport that you're trying to, you know, accomplish.
Well, I'm glad Sal picked this for us to discuss because the thing that I don't like about when people pull studies like this or we start to debate talks like this is, you know, because this study comes out and shows that, which it's like what we were saying, duh, it's kind of obvious. Then people get stuck in that. And this is kind of why, this is why we talk about the importance of phasing and how they all have their role. And this is why MAPS was created the way it was because yes, we know that focusing specifically on an adaptation is the most ideal, but you still don't want to get stuck in just
there's still timing to that.
Yeah. And there's still going to come a point where you're going to peak out. Your gains are going to peak out. Like I know I hate using the bro term, like gains, but I think people relate to that the best.
Gains.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're getting gain. Okay. So we're doing something specific, right? For the sport or whatever adaptation you're focused on. Well, that's great. But after 4 to 6 weeks, those started to diminish greatly. And it's only going to continue to diminish over time. Sure, you might still see incremental change or gains, but it's going to be minimal. And by you doing like periodization or switching up to a different modality or focus or adaptation, you're going to see way more benefits because now the body has a new thing to focus. Right. Then you revisit, right?
Right. And if we look, for the athletes, I think it's obvious for specific type training. You know, if you're a football player, you should definitely practice playing football. And that's going to give you the most bang for your buck over anything else. I mean, you could take two teams who play football, have one team just practice football, have the other team just work out but never play football. Mm-hmm. The football player, the guys who practice football are going to do much better. Of course, right. You want to do both, but you get the point. Now, what about for the average listener, right? The average listener that we have doesn't compete in sports. The average listener just wants to work out for better fitness. They might want to build more muscle or burn more body fat or just look better or move better in general. Specificity is also important for them. And let me explain. If when we're picking exercises that have lots of carryover, lots of bang for your buck, when we're talking about exercises like barbell squats and barbell deadlifts and, you know, overhead presses and pull-ups, exercises that build the most muscle, that tend to burn the most body fat, that give you the most, you know, strength and the most results in terms of time spent doing them. Mm-hmm. You want to train them very specifically because you want to maximize, you want to get the most out of those exercises. So what I mean by that is if you're going to do barbell squats and you want to get the most out of squats, then you want to practice squats like a skill. You want to get really good at them because when you get good at squats, you can take all that progress that squats are going to give you and maximize it. Versus what a lot of people do, which is a mistake, is where they'll throw squats in every once in a while because they think they need to keep the body guessing and keep it, you know, keep the muscles confused. So, oh, I squat sometimes, but sometimes I do lunges and sometimes I do, you know, step ups and sometimes, and that's not good either because they're not getting the most out of these exercises that are so effective.
Then you're me. That was me. I mean, that was probably the biggest game changer of all of us getting together. Was that's how I trained. I very much so trained that way.
You varied it all the time.
All the time. I was the king of variation. Like I was so into varying everything that I never allowed my body to like fully adapt and see the maximum gains from each type of adaptation. I was constantly throwing things at it, which, you know, I guess I could argue.
Keeps things interesting, right?
Well, and you could argue at the time that, well, you know, I was in good shape already. I maintained between 9 to 12% body fat. So if you're, and, you know, I wanted to move well, I wanted to be pretty strong, but none of the other stuff, like PRs didn't matter. Major gains didn't matter. I wasn't really sculpting physique. Sure, I kind of was, but not really. Like really, it was just my overall health and fitness. Mm-hmm. So that's not a big deal. But to see maximal progression or see gains, which I now had to become focused like that when I got into competing. So it changed my whole program design. I now had to like specifically be focused on things and I needed to see myself progressing and say, okay, I'm on the right track here. Now I move here. Oh,
sure. There's that too, right? You want to be able to see your body progress within that exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, adding weight to your squats means you have to practice your squats. You have to practice your deadlifts. You pick these core movements, which we know without beyond a shadow of a doubt are the most effective exercises you can do. Mm-hmm. And it requires a specificity of training because you're not going to get as strong doing these big movements, these very effective movements, if you throw them in every once in a while and just practice them here and there. Well, you're just not going to.
Well, and it's also important too. I mean, you mentioned sports briefly, but like, you know, structuring your program around your sport where, you know, I like specifically football just because that's my background, like where I'm programming in power cleans. And like, that's really one of the, you know, like such a foundational movement all across the board for each position, just because of the explosive movement that you're getting and you're driving those forces, you know, through your hips. And I mean, it's going to make you an overall better player along with the strength it provides. You know, now you also, you know, complement that with backloaded squats, you know, you have all your other staple lifts, your bench presses, your overhead presses and everything else. So, you know, your overall strength is there. But now, you know, it is important to phase and make sure that, you know, the movement quality is there, the speed, the acceleration. Now, how do I apply all this strength that I built in this phase? So, you know, the whole phasal approach, I mean, this is really why we have it very specifically structured. So that way it moves you along a timeline and it builds you up to the point where now, okay, now conditioning. Now this is something we need to focus on. And this is the important part that brings you into the competition.
Right. You want to keep in mind when you first learn an exercise or you start doing an exercise, a lot of the adaptation you're going to get is simply learning how to do the exercise. You're not going to get a lot of the muscle building effects initially because you just got to get good at it. You know, if I've never learned to ride a bike before, the first few days I ride that bike, I'm not really getting fast. I'm not building lots of endurance. I'm just wobbling. I'm learning how to ride that bike. And the same true is for other exercises, which is why it's also important, like I'm saying, to be quite specific with your training. Now, when it comes to periodization, of course, you have that whole debate of linear, you know, progress versus periodized process, and both have their benefits. The linear progress is good because you can stay pretty specific within a form of adaptation and see yourself progress on a regular basis. But then there comes a point where you have to stop that phase and periodize into another phase. And this is why MAPS is very different from your traditional workout programs, because we kind of take all these things. We take specificity, periodization, and linear models, and we program them in ways to maximize the benefit of each of them and to minimize the negative of each of them, because there are negatives to each of them as well. All I ever do is specific type training, where I'm missing out on lots of different ways of moving. Absolutely. I'm missing out on mobility. I'm missing out on skill. If all I ever do is periodize my workouts, I'm missing out on really maximizing a particular form of adaptation and seeing progress.
I see this a lot with specificity training. Like they get into arguments, like a lot of coaches get into argument of just, you know, promoting the skill and always just focusing on the skill that's very specific to that sport. However, their overall strength hasn't increased and they haven't really addressed that, or their overall conditioning, you know. So meanwhile, you know, great skill, great, you know, but they get outgassed, you know.
That's right.
Or they get like overpowered.
That's right. So it's important to understand all of them and learn how to program them in your workouts to maximize each of them. Because neglecting any one of them this is the best, you know, periodization is the best. So my workouts are completely centered around periodization. I'm not going to pay attention to, you know, how I can, you know, train specifically for a skill or progress on a linear, you know, basis. Well, you're missing out on that as well. So it's important to pay attention to these types of things. And we took all of this into account when we designed our program.
I feel like we kind of need to simplify even what we're talking about right now, because the terms that we're using right now with linear progression and specificity and periodization and undulating, and these are terms that, I mean, if you're a fitness guy or girl, like, okay, they might sound familiar to you, but for the average listener, this is probably going like right over people's heads. So I think breaking down and explaining like some simple stuff, like, you know, we were talking about the squats and the deadlifts, like, we've covered this before, that's the king of all exercises. Those are the king of all exercises, right? Overhead press, the squat, the deadlift, the big movements that we've talked about before. And simply just like Sal was saying, just including them. So if you were talking about periodization, you would be cycling them through, right?
You'd be cycling intensities quite frequently. You know, I'd go heavy on Monday, you know, or this week, next week I go lighter. The following week I go heavy again, or I do, you know, a faster tempo or whatever. The periodization models that I've seen tend to periodize pretty rapidly. And they miss out on the linear progression that, you know, the linear style progression that you see when you stay consistent with a particular type of training for a longer period of time. So
there you go again, using linear and so that. I'm trying to simplify.
So linear would be, today I did, you know, 135 pounds on my bench press for 10 reps. Next time I go for 12 reps. The next time I go for 14. I'm constantly trying to progress at the same thing. Periodization would be mixing it up much more. To be able to take advantage of both, you would go linear for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then you would periodize. So take advantage of the linear progression, then periodize to a different form of adaptation for another 3 weeks. So you're progressing linearly for a period of 3 weeks, then you periodize, and then you progress again linearly for 2 to 4 weeks or whatever, and then you periodize. And that's what I mean by being able to combine kind of elements of both and get benefits of both and negating some of the negatives that you can potentially get
from both. There you go. Yeah. I think that's a better way for us to explain
good
it.
Call.
Well, and especially when you're talking about squats and deadlifting, like, How often do you guys walk in the gym and actually see somebody squatting or deadlifting and actually go like, oh, wow, she's got really, or he's got really good form. Like, uh-huh. Jeff, that's a great squat, or that's a great deadlift. It's pretty fucking rare.
Yeah.
It's very rare.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, because a lot of people, even the people that are doing it, and you got to give them some kudos for trying, right, for incorporating it, because they know that squatting is important. They know that deadlifting is important. But there's a lot of poor form out there, which we talked about, like, you know, here, these were some of the perks of CrossFit. We thought that, hey, you know, CrossFit has really reintroduced, you know, some of these good old school movements mm-hmm. that are so important. And so many more people. I mean, God, I was just in the gym. I can't remember, you know, 10 years ago ever having to wait for a squat rack, much less in a gym that has five of them. And I found myself sitting and waiting for someone to be done. Like, that's just insane to me. Like, that was never like that 10 years ago.
No, big gyms had one squat rack and it was empty.
Yeah. And now so many people are doing, which is awesome to see. But then so many people are just kind of throwing them in there, incorporating them, and then moving along the routine when they could probably spend the entire hour working on their mechanics and getting good at that squatting and staying in a 5x5 for a while type of training, and then moving on to, you know, your higher reps, like you said. Like,
and here, you know, here's something else that just popped in my mind about this. When you're talking about really perfecting an exercise or a skill when it comes to exercise, that really lends itself well to the big gross motor movement exercises. If you like to mix shit up a lot and just throw things at your workouts, use the single joint, you know, isolation based movements. Those are fine. I don't need to sit here and perfect a barbell curl or perfect a, you know, a tricep press down, or machine press down, or all these different versions of them. Right. Those are good exercises to fucking throw in and mix. And as a matter of fact, in our programs like MAPS Aesthetic, where we have focus sessions where you do that, we tell people, take your pick and throw them in there and mix them up as much as you want. But those big gross motor movements, we put in there pretty regularly, because those are the ones that you can really perfect and build a lot of skill around. Mm-hmm. So there's something else to consider. If you like to mix things up a lot, then don't do it with your big gross motor movements. Keep those kind of as staples. All the other shit, yeah, fucking mix it up. You want to do donkey, you know, kickbacks on one time. Mm-hmm. You want to do, you know, backstep lunge with a twist, yeah, or whatever. That's fine. Throw that in at the end.
But yeah, butterfly hip extensions. I think it's a must that you're at least squatting 1 to 3 times a variation of the squat, whether it be a back loaded or a front loaded squat or a goblet or some sort of.
I squat at least front squat and back squat at least twice a week.
Yeah, I feel like that has to be a minimum. And then your same thing with your deadlifting. Some sort of a form of a deadlift needs to be in there mm-hmm. at least once or twice every week. And then, like you said, all the other movements. That's where you can get
overhead
fun.
Overhead press.
Yeah, your bicep curl. Yeah, overhead press for sure too, right? So your bicep curl and tricep extension shit and all your little lateral movements, like, dude, those are the ones you can go bananas and have mm-hmm. fun with, because they're not the difference of you doing that machine exercise with a cable or this or that, like, isn't going to make that big of a difference. But you simply, you know, eliminating or including squats on a regular basis into your routine will make a huge difference on your gains for sure.
Mm-hmm. VH Christian J. How to reverse all the things that were discussed in the recent episode, The Decline of the Modern Male.
Oh, this is part 2 episode or whatever? Oh. Yeah. So in that, we were talking about how, and it was kind of, part of it was tongue-in-cheek.
Wear a flannel.
Part of it was tongue-in-cheek. It was a lot of joking around, but there is a lot of pretty established science now showing that men, the average testosterone levels of men have been declining now for the past, I don't know how many decades, like, you know, 4 or 5 decades or whatever. And, you know, so we talked about that, why that may be happening and, you know, what we could do to kind of reverse it. Here's the thing. We don't necessarily know why testosterone levels seem to be dropping in men. It could be, you know, xenoestrogens, which are chemicals that act on estrogen receptors in the body that we're exposed to now that we weren't exposed to before.
This is why everybody is so scared of the plastic bottles, water bottles, trying to transfer over to aluminum.
Exactly. I mean, it could be that. It could be other chemicals. It could be the way we eat. You know, saturated fat intake is much lower now because of the incorrect information that we were given by the FDA.
Wouldn't you think it was sad? Because, you know, this has just been a recent thing. Like, people have started converting to where they're bringing more fats back into their diet after that.
It could be that. I mean, it could be reduction in dietary cholesterol. We know dietary cholesterol itself is converted into hormones. It could be inactivity. People aren't active anymore. It could be that society is now much more peaceful, and maybe that's a natural way. Who knows? But I will say this: things that increase testosterone, we know things that increase testosterone. A diet that is based on whole natural foods that has a relatively good amount of natural saturated fats, getting good sleep, having some stress in your life will raise your testosterone. You can't just be some relaxed dude on a hammock all the time, but you know, you want to have some stress. Lifting weights is the best fucking thing. Of all the things you could possibly do, lifting weights properly will impact your testosterone levels better than almost anything else you could possibly
do. And strangling the dragon.
What about toning down all the smartphone pornography?
That's a good question. You know, masturbation has not been
shown. I
know
all the guys are angry right now telling them that, but I feel like, you know, we're getting desensitized by how much.
But that's different, though. I think that has more to do with the brain than it does with hormone levels. Like, I think the brain starts to wire itself, especially if you're in adolescence and in your teen years and you're jerking off to a lot of internet porn. I think your brain starts to wire itself to be stimulated by, you know, quick changes in scenery and novelty and stuff like that. I don't think it's testosterone.
You don't think they're inversely related?
There hasn't been any science that I'm familiar with that has shown that pornography or masturbation reduces testosterone.
Well, we know that masturbation doesn't reduce it. You know, if anything, it promotes it.
Yeah.
But I would think just that the desensitizing of this artificial, because in a sense, it's not real, right? You're looking at something that's on a screen versus the physical contact and the social part.
Maybe not being around women and having sex with women.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel like it would cause that to happen because you're just not. That's what I'm trying to say is getting out there and go hunt for the real thing, you know. Like, get off your smartphone and get out there and hunt for the real.
Isn't that the most of it though? Is like you got to go do some physical work, like of some sort.
Well, then that's the other thing, right? So how about this? I mean, we talk about, you know, as you know, young boys, we were all young guys in the 80s, you know, growing up, and you know, you were outside building forts and hammering wood and you know, like I was digging holes and I was doing manly fucking shit that's physical outside. And, you know, your young boys now, they say, I mean, they're playing video games and watching cartoons all day on TV or on their iPad or whatever. Like, it's just, or their YouTube, you know, like it's a different generation.
Well, and I have issues because of the way that schools are structured now to suppress a lot of young boys' activity levels. Like, it's at a point where, you know, they don't want boys to be boys. They want them to be, like sit still, like, you know, concentrate and, you know, like play with crafts and, you know,
dude,
a lot of boys want to wrestle. They want to like
throw
get
rocks.
Up, run. Yeah. Right. They want to break shit.
You know what? And now we're generalizing, but this is all backed by, this is legit science. Of course, there's individual variances. You're going to have boys that don't like that and you're going to have girls that like that, but as a general whole, you know, generally, that's absolutely correct. And there's actually been quite a few books written on how school is designed for girls, and how girls are going to succeed in school much more because of all the things that boys like to do, and we're taught, you know, we're told in schools not to do those things. It's funny, you know, they'll have Legos, you know, for kids to play with, but if a boy makes a sword or a gun out of Legos, big fucking trouble.
Yeah.
They can't do that.
Like,
and I hate to fucking break this to you. You know, it's a part of...
It's in our DNA.
It is. You give boys sticks and they hit each other with
even
them.
Even if they don't have sticks, they pretend they have a stick or a gun. Even if they've never even seen one before.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
Right. Yeah,
I swear to God.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. I mean, lift heavy weights, do it properly, get decent sleep, eat enough saturated fats. Those are probably the best things you could possibly do to, you know, have healthy testosterone levels. Here's the thing you want to consider, okay? Men do not go through a dramatic hormonal shift like women do. You know, women have menopause where their bodies stop. Just basically, they're not able to have children anymore. In fact, after the age of 30, a woman's ability to conceive starts to dramatically drop on a regular basis to the point where if you're, I believe, over the age of 35 and you get pregnant, they strongly recommend you get lots of testing during the pregnancy because the risk of things like, you know, birth defects or whatever dramatically increases after 35. Men, theoretically, we produce sperm till the day we die. We can theoretically impregnate a woman until we're dead. So if you're a healthy man, you're 90 years old and you somehow get, you know, you get a boner and you're, you know, you can impregnate a woman. You're still making sperm. Your testosterone, men's male testosterone levels do decline with age, but it's not this dramatic shift of hormones that women go through. And if you're a healthy, fit, strong, able man, you will maintain very youthful testosterone levels for a long fucking time.
I wonder what the oldest is. I wonder what the oldest man is that's gotten somebody pregnant.
70-something, I believe. Well, or 80-something.
Hugh Hefner is going to break it.
Yeah.
80-something?
I believe it's like 70, like mid-70 or 80, I believe. I remember reading this at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You're in elementary school, dad's 90-something.
But, I mean, think about that, right? Think about...
That's not my grandpa. No, it's not my great-grandfather either. That's my dad.
Think about that, right? Testosterone levels exist for a reason. And if you give your body lots of signals telling it that testosterone or having high levels of testosterone is beneficial, then it will for the most part. And I've trained lots of, I like training advanced age population. So I've had lots of clients over 65 that I've trained. I just have a lot of fun with them. And I've had men over their, in their 70s.
You know, you say that a lot and you know it's true because you use the term advanced aged. Because I would just call them old people. I train old people too. You know what I'm saying? I've trained plenty of old people, but the fact that you actually call them advanced
old
age.
Old wrinkle balls over here.
Advanced age.
Well, you guys laugh, but I'll tell you what, man. I've had quite a few of these guys come see me who are in their 70s, get their testosterone levels checked after working out with me for a year or two. And these are the committed ones who eat right and do everything right. And these guys' testosterone levels will measure 600, 700. Which is considered healthy for a 30-year-old.
Which is kicking my ass.
Which is good. And so, you can do this, man. You just got to be healthy and take care of yourself, and your testosterone levels will be high. But if you're eating sugar all the time and you're behind your computer and you're lazy and you don't lift weights and you can barely have sex with your wife once a week because you have no energy or whatever, you probably got shitty testosterone levels.
You need to be in a competitive environment. You need to be around other badass guys that are going to motivate you.
Start a fight club. That's what I'm saying. Go hunt for some pussy, eat some fat,
lift weights.
There you go. There's your three from me.
Stop being a bitch.
Right,
eat,
oh my god.
Step one. Eat some fat. Start a fight club.
Wear a flannel.
Hunt for some pussy. Yeah.
Stop being offended at everything.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. The next question is for the skinny fat girls. If you had to be a villain in any horror movie, who would you be? And what movie scared you the most?
God damn. Who would I be?
Villain in a horror movie.
Dude, I don't watch scary movies. It's going to be a hard one for me. I'm going to have to go last.
Freddy Krueger. So let me ask you this. When you were a kid.
I was scared to death of scary movies.
Okay, so I'll tell you one.
I love scary movies.
I'll tell you one movie that basically fucked me up.
Poltergeist.
No. I could watch Poltergeist. I could watch fucking Exorcist. I could watch fucking Friday the 13th. None of that shit like fucked me up. Only one movie ever ruined me, and that was Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That movie was disturbing.
The first one?
Yes, and it's still fucking disturbing. Yeah, when they're all having dinner and everybody's like, you got the old, the dude that's dead and they're eating, but it's just, it fucking ruined me. I watched that and I was like, I'm done. It took me like a year to get over that shit. Yeah. Gross.
Well, that one's kind of like, because don't they get like, they're like on the road on some trip, right? On some vacation, and they have to like pull over, so they run out of gas or some shit.
Dude, I don't remember how that disturbed the shit out of me.
Well, I remember watching that one too. My buddies, that was later on though.
I was a kid.
Oh, the original. Yeah, that'll mess you up. That's the original Chainsaw. Even the newer one was scary as shit.
No, you want to watch something that's relatively...
The newer one was great. Is that Jessica Biel? Oh, yeah.
You want to watch something relatively new that'll fuck you up? Watch any horror movie by Rob Zombie.
Oh, really?
He's twisted.
House of 1,000 Corpses oh, my God. Halfway through the movie, I'm like, I can't, this is too much.
I'll tell you what. My wife and I, when we were just... Like, this is our first technical date. Right. So we go to a movie and I'm like, you pick the movie. Cool. Pick the movie. Hills Have Eyes. In the fuck? That movie was terrible.
Was it really?
My God. Like, I just still have no, like, it's not even so much like nightmares. It's just like so disturbing. You know, it's like, God, there was like, there's this like this mutant guy was like raping this chick and it's just like, it's awful. We walked out.
So Courtney likes scary movies?
She did, and now she will absolutely not watch them. So yeah, it's hilarious.
You ruined the opposite.
Katrina doesn't watch them. I don't watch them.
Why don't you watch them?
I'm scared. bro.
Wait, now?
Yes, even now as a grown-ass adult, bro. I get fucking scared. And
do you really?
Well, here's what I've never...
Oh, my God. We're going to watch...
I told you I don't have a closet, right?
We are going to watch a scary movie. Fucking pussies. We're going to watch it together.
No. You know why? Because you do...
I can't watch The Exorcist.
This is exactly what all my best friends... They love to do this. They're like, oh, my God. Adam doesn't like scary movies. Let's watch one. Everybody loves to watch one just so they can watch me, which is not entertaining for me at all. And I never...
We're going to.
I never understood this. Okay, so...
I love scary movies.
I like to get on a roller coaster because I like that the feeling it makes my stomach feel, and it's like riding a ride. When I watch a movie, I want to fucking relax. I want to relax.
You're all tense in the scary movie?
Bro, in a scary movie, I'm on edge the whole time. My back is sweating. I'm biting my nails. I'm looking out one eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not comfortable. So to me, like, I've never understood what drives people to
Can you do those haunted houses where they like, they jump out at you and they're like all dressed up?
I've done them, but none of that stuff. I don't enjoy any
you,
like, of it.
Do you ever watch?
I don't enjoy
any. You ever play scary video games? They make some of these games now that are fucked up.
The first Resident Evil when I was a kid scared the shit out of me.
I love it.
We had a big screen TV and we played that with the lights off. That sucks.
Yeah, dude, I love scary movies, but here's why I don't watch a lot of them, because they suck. They suck. I hate watching scary movies because I'll watch and be like, this is not scary, and I know what's going to happen, and it's bullshit. But if I watch a movie that really fucks me up, oh, man, I love that shit.
I do not like it.
Have you seen The Mouth of Madness?
No.
Oh, that one fucked me up.
We'll do like a good
Stephen King.
How about this? You guys ever watch Faces of Death? That was, I don't know, it's not so much.
Stop it. That's, dude.
Not so much a scary movie, but it's fucking horrible shit.
That's just awful.
That's just videos of people getting killed and shit. That was disturbing.
I did see that, and I was like, regretted seeing that.
God, you were a weirdo, bro. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that you're just weird that you would watch shit.
You know what's the ultimate?
I was like, I got all my ISIS videos on play.
No. I don't watch that. So you know what, when I was a kid, what I used to love watching when I was a kid were all of the Twilight Zones. Do you guys ever watch
those? Twilight
Black
Zones,
and white ones?
The old ones.
Hell yeah.
Because they were so, at the end, the twist was so good and they were so scary.
They're always so creepy.
I love that shit.
Super creepy.
Well, I love it.
We never got around to asking or answering any of these questions.
No. What do you mean?
Well, we didn't say who the villain would be and we didn't say what was our scariest movie. Poltergeist was the first movie that ever scared me as a kid. That's the first one that comes to mind. I remember my parents watching and loving that movie, and I remember being scared to death as a kid. I'm sure there's plenty of other movies.
It's funny, because mine was The Exorcist, so it's kind of along that supernatural
and that
side.
Era, too. That's all. They were right around the same time. So, yeah, that probably scared me. If I were to play a villain, I don't know. I like vampire, like in zombie, like shit like that. If I was going to if I was going to be the scary bad guy, I would do.
I want to be Mike Myers from Halloween.
Who's just walk
around really slow.
Who's a badass like vampire? What movie? You know what? I would be like, what's that crazy bitch's name from, that just came out with the new one just came out. The Lichens and the
Underworld.
Yes.
Underworld.
Yeah.
You'd want to be her. I wish you were her. God damn it.
I do too.
Well, they're badasses. I just like, that's actually one of, I'd be one of
the old, is it?
So you'd rather be a vampire than a werewolf.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin?
What, vampire or werewolf?
Yeah.
Werewolf?
I was always werewolf.
I'm not gonna be a pussy-ass vampire.
I always thought, when I was a kid, I'd be like, that'd be cool to be a werewolf, to like turn into a fucking, dog.
Just a beast and shred everybody.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
I felt like the vampires are just way too smart for the werewolves. They're pretty much always outsmarted.
Dude, did you ever watch American Werewolf in Paris? That is some of the greatest fucking, that werewolf looks so good and scary.
He's cool.
That's what I'm gonna look like.
Mm.
Yeah.
Moving along now.
Yeah.
Jeff Mack 666.
Oh, there you go, Justin.
Dude, you scary bastard.
Who will have sex first in the new spot?
I already win. I already won that.
No. There was more to this question. Remember, it said like he speculated Doug.
Hold on a second. Are they talking about sex with other people or by yourself?
Yeah. If it's by yourself, it could be Sal.
That doesn't count.
It's definitely not Justin. He gets sex once every other month, then.
Save it for when it counts.
It could be Doug.
Nobody's officially had sex in Mind Pump Media Studios yet.
Not yet.
Is there going to be a contest?
No, there's not. Dude, I don't want you eating broccoli.
I don't want you eating fish. No fluids allowed.
I don't want you eating tuna. I don't want you eating anything in this studio at all.
It smells beautiful in here. It smells eggy.
It smells like fresh paint.
Not fucking broccoli.
No, I won't have sex in here. But if I do,
you know why?
On Adam's
microwave.
Chair.
Richard will be watching you.
Oh, and Richard.
That's
Richard,
why I want to have sex in here.
I put a hidden camera
in Richard.
You did?
Yeah, I don't know who.
Richard's
I don't know
little
who
bony fingers.
That's what that little nub is.
You know what? Unfortunately, we're boring. For sure, if we were in our mid-20s, this would be a very cool competition.
I know.
I'm sure that we all would have already christened the place.
If not
sure.
as exciting having bet, sex in weird places
who,
anymore, is it?
When we get Dan Bilzerian in here, he'll be the first.
He'll be the first?
Yeah.
We'll have him. We'll sure. make him have sex with Adam.
He'll do it like right away.
Well, it's Whoa, not. Dude. Have you guys noticed this as you've gotten older? It's out. Not as exciting to have sex in weird places anymore, right?
Well, I would
maybe because you have a steady girl, man.
That's I think it's more that
we're going,
it's
more we're of that. Going steady.
Yeah, because if it's this random girl, then it's
well, I think outside's fun.
Well, once you've kind of checked all those things off your box, I think that's pretty much. I think there's. I mean, every like okay, the threesome, the movie theater,
check,
backseat
check,
of the car, check, the yeah. like the right. you know the hospital, the hotel like room, yeah. the all. Once you've done all these
in
like
water,
yeah. When you've done all these things, and you go back and you go like you know how many of those were like really comfortable and like they're memorable yeah. because they were unique and different, but they weren't like memorable because it was like oh my god that was the best sex of my life
on a slip and slide.
You know, I can't say how many like you know in the restroom of a bar type sex was like the best I could ever account for. No, I think the story is cool when you're telling your buddies when you're 26 years old, like, bro, I just had sex with that girl right there. We just went to the bathroom.
Dude, that happened.
When you're married, it's like, oh my god, we just had sex and their kids were in the other room.
Yeah. High five.
It was crazy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
we're rebels.
Yeah, no. Oh, what's shit. The weirdest? What about you? Oh, I think we've probably covered this before. But where's the weirdest place you've had sex?
Weird.
Yeah. Not weird, but like the most, I don't know.
Unique.
Yeah.
This definitely has to be with.
Any of you guys ever? Oh, go ahead, Justin.
No, I was going to say it's definitely with my wife. Otherwise, I'll get in trouble, right? Yeah. That's all I can talk about.
Yeah.
You can't be saying shit. She'll listen yeah, and be like,
exactly. Well, I'll just make, wait a minute. We never went to that place.
We didn't have sex in the McDonald's well, playground.
I never went to Paris.
Yeah. I think that's why there's a long pause for Justin and I there. Cause
I'll think about it.
I don't think I should. I don't think any of us should answer that question. I think, I think you're the only one that has the opportunity.
Tell us an exciting story.
Yeah, why don't you tell us the most exciting spot that you've ever had sex in?
Nah.
Oh, this guy wants us to dance, but he doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
Oh, get out of here,
it's
bro.
Not gonna work like
get
that.
Out of here.
Hey, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you're going to win a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, don't forget to check us out on Instagram. You can find us at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin's at Mind Pump Justin. And don't forget Doug. At Mind Pump Doug. Also, check us out on the internet at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.